We are starting now. Mr. Rogers, I see that they have already orientated you, or they are still busy with the orientation.
Yes, sir.
So you are going to use our gadget. You must take off your mask so that you can see good to wear a mampela. We are not a strong somebody. Okay. Okay, Chair, are you on?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here.
It's because there are videos.
Oh, yeah.
Off. That's the problem.
She's appeared.
Oh, now she's...
And now she's gone.
Yeah, it's because your videos, they are off. How video is off.
My video is on.
Okay.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Majiza. My name is Nhlanhla Ncube-Ndaba. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities. And I'm co-chairing this panel with the chairperson of the Select Committee of Health and Social Services in the NCOP, Ms. Galeon. And I will now hand over to honorable members to introduce themselves. Over to you, Honorable Malika.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon. My name is Audrey Malika, a member of the subcommittee.
Honorable Mpiti.
Thanks, Chair. There seems to be a problem with sound. I'm not sure what is wrong, but people are indicating that they cannot hear. But thank you to both chairpersons. My name is Luyo Lompiti, and a very warm welcome to you, Mr. Majiza. Cheers.
Thank you very much,
Chairperson,
and everybody who's listening.
Asibulele kwasihlalo bobabini sikwamkele nawe emhleka kumbulelo bhaga olilungu lale komiti enkosi kakhulu.
So
okay. So the mic was turned off. It was still playing in the
background
from the outside. Okay. So they were not
hearing
anything. Oh, okay. No, that's
so
very safe.
And now
it's a little bit.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, thanks, Chairperson, Honorable Galeon, and the chair who's with us here today, and Honorable Malika. Ntate Majiza, welcome. Now, my name is Alec Nchabeleng. I am a member of the subcommittee. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Ngisiyakwamukela umhlonishwa amajiza
Ngiyabonga. Amagama ami ngusibongile Khawula. Imemba leli komiti, ngiyabonga.
Okay,
okay. Thank you, Chef.
Yes, sir.
So, right? No, so it's on. It's on. Thank you, Chair. My name is Bongile Khawula. Member of the committee, siyakwamukela mhlonishwa Majizi. Ngiyabonga. Kezwakala.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairs, and good afternoon, Mr. Majiza. Nguteliswa Mgweba, ilungu lale committee.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and Honorable Gillian and Honorable Maleka. Babu Majiza, igama lami ukuyitumelwa kamaluleke olilungu lekomiti le. Yabo.
Thank you very much. Can honorable members assist me with the sound? Is it still a problem? And then there's no sound.
I'm watching from Facebook.
Which Facebook?
So let me just play mine here to just verify.
No, I'm not playing mine.
I'm not sure what is the problem because your gadgets, it seems like the other one is in China, the other one is in Gauteng, the other one is somewhere in Limpopo. Is it on? So you're fine now. So be traveled east with Amaluan. So now it's back. So we can start. Yeah. So I will request that honorable members mute their mics so that maybe the sound is that's another thing that also Pastor Yaku must be on. Am I?
No.
Oh. Yeah. So yeah, ngithabele ngiye on ngoba ngiyayizwa njengoba ngikhuluma ngiyazizwa lapho. Okay, Mr. Majiza, my name I've told you already. Honorable members have already introduced themselves. You have 45 minutes with us, but we can exceed 45 minutes due to I'm a follow-up questions that members, they ask after a response, Yako. So try your level best with that, even yourself. Sometimes people, they go lolo, and when it's time now to respond to the question, it's katsas pelile tina sokval. So the first question is about yourself. Tell us about yourself. Who are you? And where are you coming from? Why have you applied for this position? And why do you think you are a suitable candidate to be recommended or appointed to serve in the board of the NYDA? Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Good afternoon to the committee. My name is Luando Yandisa Majiza. I am from Bizana in Alfred Nzo district. I matriculated in Bizana, and like all young people seeking better opportunities, I came to Gauteng to pursue higher education. I am currently studying towards an LLB degree. When I arrived on campus, I became a student activist, joined and led the biggest student movement in Africa, the South African Student Congress, led it from a branch level as secretary, regional, provincial, and ultimately as the secretary general. I also participated and led academic structures in the form of the Black, also participated and led religious structures. I'm also participated and still participating in an NGO called the Second Homeless People Around. Over the years, throughout my activism, I acquired a lot of skills and directed youth development. These skills were acquired through my participation such as the Senate committee, but also at much more, which is my passion, it was at the policy formulation level. Because you do well to recall, Chair, that over the past 5 to 6 years, there's been a dramatic shift in policy, particularly in higher education, surrounding issues of transformation, especially in your historically advantaged institution, but also the policy discussions surrounding the provision of a free education. I was quite well in those discussions. As I said, in high panel committee meetings, including the National Education Crisis, high panel meetings with the department and the Department of Higher Education and various other platforms that were granted for us to advance transformation and inequalities. Those skills, Chair, they have actually equipped me and empowered me to be convinced that I should apply and be considered for this board, because they are directly linked to the mandate of the National Youth Development Policy, particularly as it relates to policy development, particularly as it relates to the upliftment of lives of the previous disadvantaged. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Majiza. I will now... what's that? Thank you very much. Feel free, make yourself comfortable. And if you feel that so to air or cool, take a deep breath. So that the water cool. And then there's a bottle of water there, so that when you feel like that, it just drink water. Yeah. I'm going to be, stage fright. It's normal. It's an interview. And it's people that you don't know. Because once you miss this opportunity, it's gone. The next question will be coming from honorable members. Honorable Maluleke, honorable Mpiti, honorable Masiko, and honorable Baha. It is a lady. Honorable Baha. I think I counted five. Honorable Killion? Honorable Malika?
Yes.
In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Babu, Majiza. Okay. Can you briefly tell us about your understanding of the roles, responsibilities, and the mandate of the NYTA board? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The NYDA was established by statute in 2009, made derived by the Umsobomvu Youth Fund and the National Youth Commission. The objective of the establishment of the NYDA was to streamline, synchronize youth development in the country. The roles of the NYDA is to coordinate youth development in the country. It is to ensure the implementation of the youth development program. It is to lobby for the program of young people. It is to ensure that young people participate abroad into the mainstream economy. It is to ensure that we create an enabling environment for young people to explore entrepreneurial adventures. So my understanding of the NYTA role, it is that it must ensure that, conscious of our past, we are able as a nation to ensure that we bring up to speed those that were excluded in the economic activities, is to ensure that we bring up to speed the young people that are placed in the peripheral rural areas, the young people that are excluded in higher education. As things stand, about 8.2 million young people are not in employment, not in education and training. More than 30%, South Africa has more than 30% of unemployment, of which a whopping 68% of those are young people. It is thus, therefore, the responsibility of the NYDA to ensure that we achieve equality and equity and we redress the evils of the past. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want us to continue to check the sound, because there's still complaints that the sound is not clear enough. But nonetheless, I will continue. Budmajisa, thank you so much for joining us for this interview. My question really relates to legislation or policies that have been put in place to assist young people to gain skills in South Africa. Now, we've seen a number of policies that have been put in place, like the employment tax incentive that gives businesses within the private sector a tax credit for employing young people between the ages of 18 to 29, and also to assist them to gain skills, as well as other measures like the NYDA's policy on removing experience as a prerequisite for employment amongst young people within the public sector. I would like to know, from your view, these particular policies have seen minimum success in my eyes, and so I want to ask you, should you be appointed to the NYDA board, what exactly will you do to ensure that if these policies are not successful, how will you improve them? Or if not improve them, what will you do to ensure that young people in South Africa who are sitting at home without jobs and without the ability to gain skills can actually find opportunities in this country through these programs? Thank you very much.
The sound is okay, Honorable Mpiti. Tell the person who sent you
that maybe he need to move from where he is. Because I've checked with the people that are checking the sound for me. They said the sound is fine. Okay, over to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable, for the question. Thank you, Chair. Indeed, I think I must firstly agree with the preamble of the Honorable Member that there seems to be a huge cleavage between policy intentions and policy implementation in our country, in that we sit with a lot of policies that are gathering dust to be implemented. But also we sit with a crisis of social partners not coming on board. I think how we can improve it, we need to firstly strengthen the NYDA Act in a sense that I do think that there needs to be legislative reforms that suggest that the NYDA must actually coordinate, must actually oversee the implementation of policies, and there must be concomitant penalties for those who do not implement these policies, as you had suggested, that they are the scraping of experience. All good and well, the NYDA championed it. It was achieved. However, we have not seen its impact. We therefore need an impact-driven NYDA, not an organization that conducts events, an organization that wants to give a report at the end of the year that we hosted this event, we hosted this program, but we must be impact-driven. We must have a board that enters and says, we've got 3 years, and in these 3 years, this is the impact we want to have had on young people. This is the number of businesses, young people that want to have given an opportunity to have businesses, and those businesses must also generate their own jobs. So we must be an impact-driven organization, and I think one of the ways of achieving that is actually amending the act in itself. Secondly, I think we need to really integrate youth development, in that all government departments should have a youth directorate that is coordinated at the level of the National Youth Development Agency. Also, the president, speaking at the State of the Nation address, had indicated that 1% of all government budgets would be topsized for youth development or youth employment opportunities. But we have not seen that happening. And we therefore need an NYDA that will be able to hold, including working together with the committee, to hold those who are not implementing those policies. I think that would be my submission. Thank you.
If you say the NYDA needs to report on the work that they've done, or meaning their program, not after 5 years or 3 years. That's what you were saying. Or you were saying, you see, because I want to get to understand you properly. You see, NYDA or all government framework is like all departments and entities are reporting to Parliament quarterly, you know. So, and in your understanding, maybe in terms of reporting, when do you want NYDA to report? How? Quarterly, or 6 monthly, or every year, or how? In your own understanding, maybe, the way government departments and entities are reporting?
I am saying it needs to, the NYDA needs to report like it is expected in terms of legislation and in terms of permanent rules, which is as chairs indicated that it is Godal. The point I was impressing on was that we have a situation wherein we have an organization that wants to do programs as a tick box mechanism, but not measuring the impact of its work.
Okay.
That was the point I was impressing.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. The next honorable member is Masiko, I think.
Yes, it is, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity. And thank you very much, Mr. Majiza. The Chairperson will give you an opportunity at the end of the interview to ask the panel a question. And I will request within that 1 minute for you to tell us whether you are Valdez or you are Black Jesus. You will tell us. But also, as I said to the previous candidate, that is on a lighter note. Mr. Majiza, you had said in your introductory remarks, and I was very impressed, the issue of your involvement in a non-profit organization. And you had called it a second chance NPO. You had spoken about it being involved with the youth which are working on the streets and staying on the streets. And for me, you know, there's a lot that has been said even during the interviews, and we're addressing issues, yes, which are of pertinent importance to the issue of young people, which is economic emancipation of young people, issues of the unemployment rate being high, and the issue of the provision of economic opportunities for young people. But equal importance is the social well-being of young people, because we can provide those economic opportunities, but if young people are not provided the social space for them to be able to work and be able to live in a safe space, then we would have probably have a lost generation, you know. So for me, the programs that...
Sorry, honorable members, I see my father is calling me. Can I...
Programs that will address issues of moral regeneration and social cohesion are very important, Mr. Majiza. And for me, when you mentioned the issue of your involvement in a non-profit organization, it did, you know, really touch a very special space in my heart, because I believe that as much as we are coming from communities, as you have said, and because we go and we seek for better, you know, living, we go to cities and we forget about where we come from. We do have a responsibility to our communities. We do have a responsibility to build young people socially from where we are coming from. And that's the role that nonprofit organizations are playing in our communities. The question that I have for you then is, in terms of if you are given that opportunity of serving in the National Youth Development Agency Board, what innovative ideas would you bring in terms of the board's programs that they would implement in communities in building the social fiber and ensuring that there are moral regeneration programs in the communities that are targeting young people and ensuring that young people are socially, you know, active. You know that young people are there, and in terms of them, you know, there's crime, there's substance abuse, there's gender-based violence. So, you know, we need those programs, and our non-profit organizations are there providing those programs. So what would you introduce in the National Youth Development Agency as a board member and respond to those issues? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable, for the question. Thank you, Chair. I think this is a very critical question. There is a health problem that is neglected in the country that we are not talking about. The question of mental health. When I go to Bennett Street in Hatfield and I sit with Uskoko, who chills by the corner there, The stories that he would tell you what forced him to leave home, the circumstances that made them to leave their homes and be on the street, the young people that you find engaged in drug abuse, drinking unquantified volumes of alcohol. It is a challenge, it is a crisis of mental health, which in essence contributes to the crimes committed by the youth, which leads to the situations that we find ourselves having, a frustrated youth that wakes up, do nothing, go to the corner, and exchange in drugs. We have a problem of youth that is engaged in conduct that is not excusable. We have a pandemic of gender-based violence, as is highlighted, of which we need to appreciate as a society that we will need sometimes to learn, relearn, and unlearn, appreciate that more social conditions or the moral fiber of society or acceptable conduct today may not be acceptable tomorrow, because it is constant. Change is the only constant thing. And as such, therefore, as men of the country, we need to come together and acknowledge that we have had centuries of male privilege that has led to undue masculinity. And to address the challenge then of the interventions that may be necessary to address. Number one, you will need to change legislation, the Criminal Procedure Act, to perhaps classify all acts of gender-based violence as Schedule 5 and Schedule 6 crimes in order to make sure that it is difficult to get bail for those. But also, the Sexual Offences Court was established, but there are no specialized prosecutors, and also there are no properly trained police personnel for that, and therefore we will need a special training of prosecutors that will be addressing matters of gender-based violence. But most importantly, we will need a change in attitude in our society. Therefore, if appointed to the board to address some of those questions, I would really lobby for legislative reforms. Thank you.
Sorry, what member is next?
Thank you, Chairperson. And I think that it's quite refreshing to listen to the different views that young people that you are engaging with are coming up with. And I think that Mr. Majiza, you are not outside of those. I think you are bringing new dimensions on issues that are confronting young people on a large scale. And we are sitting here trying to find solutions of how to resolve and undo some of these issues. Now, for me, I think that we have to listen to each and every one of you who sit on that seat at this moment and kind of find a way of what it is that would work in trying to resolve the issues that we are seeing as we are sitting here. Now, my question would be, you have kind of highlighted some of the issues that are a problem. Obviously, someone else would have, you know, kind of indicate some. You would come with those that you see that are important to you. But my main priority would be to listen to you and get a sense of what you are saying as to what needs to be done in order to deal with all the issues that we are confronted with. Now, my main question is no different from what has been asked from the first question that we are confronted with. It is what can be done to change the negative perception amongst young people and around the NYDA in general. How can we make the NYDA to be a solution driven, where it could be a sign of new life that young people could look up to, where people or young people would not be sitting in street corners and wait for a fix in order to say, what can we do in order to leave and then go and end up in jail eventually. So that's, I just want to get a sense from you as to what it is that you see as a solution. Thank you.
Maybe to add on what Honorable Bacha was asking you, when you were doing your introduction, you said you participated in an NGO helping young people sitting in the street. Some of them, they were using substance abuse and all of forms of abuse and substance abuse. And I just want to check from you whether, when you were there, trying to assist young people, did your NGO make an impact to the lives of those young people? If yes, how?
Thank you, Chen. Let me start with the first question. Indeed, Honorable Bubaha, the question of the negative perceptions around the NYDA is in twofold. There is a negative perception around beneficiation of the NYDA. There is a negative perception around the appointment. So it comes in that way because I think the NYDA has a crisis of reach. It does not reach. It sort of has become as an elite that is not fully representative. It should strive to be fully representative. Young people who are unemployed must be able to the courage to apply for the NYDA. Young people in rural areas must be able to have the courage to apply for the NYDA. And one of the most underutilized institutions is the, if there are no resources to for the NYDA to be in every corner of the country, is the South African post office. I think the post office is one of the vastly distributed institutions, because the technological advances that have made it possible for the NYDA to communicate on Facebook, on Twitter, and elsewhere, they are not reaching the people in villages. There is high data cost, but also they don't have those gadgets. And as a result, the perceptions would arise that, no, that is an elite structure, it's not ours. And therefore, it acts in a manner that is uninformed. So you'd need to improve the consultation aspect, the reporting aspect of the NYDA, but most importantly, the reach of it. I don't think the perceptions are really substantiated, but the crisis arises out of the NYDA not being able to reach actually those who need it the most. And I suggest that the post office should be considered one of the institutions that may be used, because it exists even in rural areas, in Shabati, in Tabankulu, where I was originally born. At a shop there, there's a post office where all of us used to send letters. So that is how I think I would address the question of the negative perceptions. On the question of the impact, indeed, the scientific measure to actually address an impact is to see that which you wanted to, because what we really offer. Sometimes we bring professionals to counsel to engage with those people. Sometimes we go and engage with them, motivate them, but sometimes bring blankets and food. But as a result of resource constraints, because if they sleep here today, tomorrow the shop owners of spa, they sprinkle water, and then they have to relocate from that post. So when you come back the following day, the group that you're working with is no longer there because Metropolis has moved them and all those, and you don't have resources to accommodate them and be able to scientifically measure whether you're making any progress. So I would say relatively the impact has been that much as a result of resource constraints and not being able to contain them in one space.
Am I next, Chairperson?
Okay, Chair. Okay, I will give you an opportunity. Let's give Honorable Mpiti for a follow-up.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. It's a follow-up on the question that was asked. Mr. Matjizane, there has been a strong narrative, and for a very long time, around the NYDA, as Honorable Bacha has indicated, that the entity itself delivers and disperses funds to people who are seemed to be averse or who are seemed to be connected to individuals inside of the NYDA. And so many times the comments that are ascribed to the NYDA are ascribed that you must in some form or a way know someone inside, have a connection inside to be able to benefit. And so one cannot continue as though these comments that are made by young people, those who've engaged with the NYDA and those who have perceptions of the NYDA are not relevant. They are, and we must be honest about that. So I want to ask you, how will you, looking at the NYDA, make the intentional steps to change that narrative? Because that narrative is not coming out of the blue. When we look at the current NYDA board, 6 of the 7 board members of the NYDA board come from the ANC Youth League. And so for young people to have perceptions that the NYDA board is biased, is not unfounded. And so I want to ask you, if we are indeed saying the NYDA is an NYDA for all young people, all races, all young people, regardless of their economic position or standing in society, they must be able to knock at the door of the NYDA. So my question is, how will you ensure the broadening of the NYDA to meet all young people, regardless of political affiliations? Because at the core of the debate is a political question. Practically speaking, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, Chair. I think let me start with the last one. As the committee would appreciate that we are a constitutional democracy. Section 19 of the South African Constitution ensures the right to associate, and the right to associate basically would entail that it is a political decision to associate, or a political decision not to associate, protected by the Constitution of the Republic. That to me would seem unfair. I'm not sure of the profile of political affiliation of the previous board members, that as my disclaim. But it would be unfair to discriminate people who wish to serve on the board on the basis of their political choice to associate. And Section 15 also provides for the right to conscience. So this is the Constitution as well. and everybody is conscious, all those rights, for you to apply for the board because of what you believe in, and for you to not want to apply for the board because of what you do not believe in, those rights as well are equally protected. And therefore, I would suggest that as a constitutional democracy, we should perhaps stick to respecting people's rights. On the question of the dispensal of NYDA resources, I am not sure if the profile of beneficiaries would echo the sentiments of the honourable member, and I am unable to give a conclusive answer on whether or not that would be an accurate account that the beneficiaries of the NYDA are politically affiliated. However, what I think should be done in now agreeing with the honourable member is to improve transparency at the level of the processing of the processing of applications, the publication of the beneficiaries. And just on top of my head, this type of a setup perhaps could be explored when applications are being processed. Thank you.
Honourable Kaula. Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Madita, if we look in the current situation about institutionalized racism that is still very high in the country, and also the fact that there is a Black Lives Matter campaign, and I'm just going to make one example. If you look into sports, that 25 years in our democracy, that we still see this institutionalized racism, and how young sportsmen and women are coming to the fore to join the Black Lives Matter campaign. When you are approved to be part of the NYDA board, what do you think the role of the NYDA board must be to limit this institutionalized racism that is still existing in our country, and also how to make sure that transformation in sport is going to be high on the agenda?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Indeed, Chair, this question is testament to the fact that the aspirations of the National Development Plan around social cohesion are still very distant from being realizable. And I think part of the reasons for that, Chair, is that we have somehow begun to treat social cohesion as an event. We create a sports day, we say black kids and white kids come together, play together, and we say that is social cohesion. So I think we need to develop a strategy that will have an appreciation that social cohesion is not necessarily an event. I think the project of transformation, and particularly dealing with racism in sport, as the question was posed, would firstly start even at the level of the NYDA advocating for the improved conditions of sporting fields in black communities. But also we need to change the higher echelons of sport leadership. There is a cartel in cricket, for example, that has been leading cricket for years. There is open racism there. That cartel has been there and nobody can touch them. In rugby, it is the same thing. So I think we will need to have the Department of Sport come on board. We have Parliament come on board providing solutions on how best can they empower the Ministry of Sport to intervene in situations and circumstances wherein there's a stagnant pace of transformation at higher echelons of sports. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Ngibonga Mhlonishwa Majiza. Lana as youth. Iyouth as South Africa yalwa ngo 1976. Ilwela ikululeko. Ngabe uma ubheka manje isikhathi esikusona. Iyouth ngasho ukuthi iyayibona inkululeko noma ayiboni. Noba mhlambe ngishiso ukuthi manje youth yamanje imost yayo ingene kakhulu kwisidakamizwa nasotshwaleni. Sibonile uhulumeni evala utshwala, iyona ehayisa. Sibonile sivula utshwala, yayijabula ungathi unyuye. Kuyimanje ikhala nangogwayi iyathuka. Inhloso yami njengoba nakukhona ubale namakhaya siyabona lana intsha lesuka kwamanye amazwe efika la eSouth Africa. Angisho ukuthi yona ayiphuzi, angisho ukuthi izenza idakamizwa, kodwa uma uyibuka inomehluko omkhulu ngenxa yokuthi izwe labo abasuka kuyona kukhombisa ukuthi bafundela ama-skills. Ithi yofika nje ingane ko-matric yibi isiyakwazi ukukhanda imoto, yingakho la eSouth Africa ubona ubabona bona njengomanje abantu bakhanda ukuthi kusebenza ukho, kodwa yona uyakwazi uyiqashe, iyaqasheka left and right. Ukuthi la eSouth Africa uma ngabe wena uyangena kule bhodi, yini ozoyenza ukuthi le youth nayo ifunde ukuthi ibheke phakathi kwatshwala naphakathi kwey'dakamizwa lezi ey'gcwele ukunoma ikwazi ukuzimela izenzela imisebenzi. Kuyimanje ibhizi ihubhana no-350 akuyona imali. Yini inkinga na? Yingoba uma ngibheka yilaba abahlala kwi-NYDA abakwazi ukubiza imihlangano bafundise iy'ngane noma bahambe beka high education. But no, ake kuzame manje kushintshwe indlela yokufunda, ke kufunde ngama-skills. I-COVID-19 ikhombisa ngokusobala manje ukuthi kufuneka kubuyelwe kuma-skills, kwenziwe ama-craft work, iy'ngane kwandiswe u-agriculture, bafundise ukulima. Ama-province kube khona isikole zala kuzofundelwa khona ukulima nemisebenzi. Hhayi le misebenzi ukuthi bama sebefundile bese kuthiwa bayoqasha, bese kwaziwe ukuthi bayathatha befundise imiphakathi, kuvula iy'kole. Wena-ke uma ungena lana-ke yini ozoyenza ukuthi nathi i-youth yethu iyeke uku-concentrate-a kakhulu kwizidakamizwa? Nokuthi yini ozoyenza ukuthi uhambe uyitshele inkinga noma ubabatshele ukungabaluleki kotshwala ney'dakamizwa ezweni labo, ubakhombise ikusasa elihlakaniphile nokuthi bakwazi bona bafunde ukuzakhela imali nothi kunoma lokho bayolandela uhulumeni, nibanike imali. Yini ozobasiza ukubanikeza kumaprojekthi bahlukane nobutshwala, bahlukane nokulokhu behambe befuna o-350?
Thank you, Chair. The first question was a straightforward question, whether or not today's youth is free. No, we are not free. We are chained by poverty. We are chained by joblessness. We are chained by gatekeeping into institutions of higher learning. We are chained by health issues. We are chained by frustration. So, in my view, we are not free as a youth. The question of skills with disability, I think the NYDA should really enter into agreements, particularly with the CETAs. That is why in the other question, I made a proposal that you need a strategic goal of, if you are saying the board is for 3 years, that we enter with the CETAs, we agree with them that over these 3 years we have this group of these young people that we will need to skill. Of course, skill them in a manner that is responsive to the labor market, the needs of the labor market of the day. That is how I would answer it. And Uvangumbuzo. Oh, actually, oh.
No. Mhlonishwa. Khala ngeyouth yamanje. Ukuthi iyouth yakuqala ingalweli indaba yamathaveni. Ngabe uyawubona imehluko manje weyouth yamanje nama-rights akhona amathaveni andile. Iyouth sihluphe kangaka ngeyouth nje kwandiswa amathaveni kakhulu. Wena masuku ibhodi yini ozoyenza ukuthi la mathaveni agcwele malokishini ey'ndaweni zabantu iyouth ehlala 24 hours? Ithini ngotshwala obulala iyouth yethu?
Enkosi. Ay, ay.
Ay,
ay. No, Jay, I'm convicted because the owner of those businesses have a right to trade. And the people that go to those, what I think we need to deal with is the underlying circumstances that lead young people to, because you can't go and drag them out of a tavern. But what we need to deal with is the underlying causes that drive them there. Because if you're going to say...
Yabona ukuthi bane-right yokuthi badayise. Angizwani nakho. Ngoba ngikhuluma mina ngama-tavern avula 24 hours, especially endaweni zabantu abamnyama. Ukuthi wena yini ozoyenza uma ungena kwibhodi ukufundisa laba bantu nokuthi ulwisane no-government? La ma-tavern agcwele eduze kwey'kole yonke into. And nanokuthi njengoba utshwala sithi asifuni nje, ingoba ngabe uyabona yini ukuthi yini input yabo kwi-youth yethu na? Ngabe ngo-1976 iyona yini lento eyayilwela noma eyayilwela amaqabane lawa afayo na?
Thanks, ma'am. No, it's not what they fought for. And I certainly agree. It's very problematic that next to schools there would be taverns. Some of them are even next to religious institutions. I do think that the problem of alcohol abuse is a problem that needs a multi-pronged confrontation on it. And part of it, I wish to insist, it would be to address the underlying causes of alcohol abuse.
Thank you very much. What now? Thank you very much, Mr. Machida. That was the last question. And we wish you good luck. Is there anything that you want to ask the members? And tell us about...
Hey. both work. Both work, it depends on the context. No, thank you, Jess. No, I just wish to extend my sincere gratitude for the invitation and the committee for having me, and I wish you fruitful deliberations. Thank you.
We are going to present the report to Parliament after deliberations next week, and then the Speaker will then take the report to the President. So the President is the one who makes the final decision on who must serve to the Board of NYDA. We wish you good luck. And to keep wearing your mask, social distance.
I'm going to go to the house.